I'm just going to read a couple of scriptures to begin with, and then I'll ask you to turn to the book of Colossians, Colossians chapter 1. But I want to read from an Old Testament passage. It's in 2 Chronicles, and it's chapter 25, and it's verse 11. It says, Amaziah strengthened himself, and led forth his people, and went to the Valley of Salt, and smote of the children of Seir 10,000. Now here we have this Jewish king, Amaziah, who, it says, strengthened himself. We're going to talk about being strong tonight. I want you to think about how Amaziah, how in the world did he get to strengthen himself? Then we go over to Daniel chapter 10 and verse 19, and where the angel came to Daniel and said, a man greatly beloved, fear not. Peace be unto thee. Be strong, yea, be strong. I want you to think about that. Somebody comes to you and says, be strong, be strong. You know, how do you do that? How is that possible? Just telling a person, how is that possible? All right, he goes on to say, and when he had spoken unto me, I was strengthened and said, let my Lord speak, for thou hast strengthened me. Sometimes we need the encouragement to be strong. We need people telling us that we've got to do something more than what we're doing in order to be able to stand up against all the things that are coming down against us in this world. You know, the Bible did say that in the last days, men shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. And we know this is happening. So what does a Christian do? How do we get strong? some time ago, I saw an older man who was obviously having a very difficult time. I don't know whether the woman who was holding him up was his nurse or his wife, but they were out on the sidewalk. And he was trying to walk, putting one foot in front of the other. Now, when I looked at that, I wondered, what was his problem physically? It didn't seem as if it was something that a stroke would bring about. It might have been a heart attack. It might have been some reason why he was in bed for a long time and his strength had kind of atrophied and just wasn't there anymore. But when you look at Scripture and you understand that God tells us to be strong, would simply telling this man, be strong, old man, be strong, would that be enough to change him? Now, it can do this. It can give you the incentive to keep on trying, to keep on working. We live in a society today of quitters and losers, where something goes wrong in a person's life, they throw up their hands and they say, well, that's it, I can't do anymore. And they just give up. Our young people are being raised that way. Our young people are, I don't know if you've ever looked at it seriously, but we have every day in newspapers cases of bullying. I read recently that one case where a child was in the lunchroom and he was eating a sandwich. And another kid came up to him and said, hey, there's no meat there. And the child was eating the sandwich, says, no, I'm a vegan. And the other kid said, well, you know, over time, you're going to need some brain food. He said, that isn't going to help you any. And he kind of ridiculed him and went on. And there wasn't any physical confrontation or anything. But our young people today are taught to be so sensitive to opposition, and they don't know how to handle it. And so what this kid did, he went home and he told mommy and daddy how he was He was so hurt and so embarrassed and so upset that somebody said something nasty about his sandwich. They, in turn, got a lawyer who contacted the school system. What was amazing to me is that this school system, not a huge one, by the way, had 10 full-time counselors that were called, I forget the exact term that they used, but bullying counselors is what it boiled down to, bullying counselors. And so the bullying counselors got involved, and they jumped all over this kid that said you need meat and all. And you know, from what I understand, this kid is going to be disciplined by the school district. We have a whole generation today. What do they do when there's opposition? Some of you remember when you went to school, if somebody picked on you, your parents would tell you, all right, this is what you do. And they teach you how to fight. And they teach you to just shut them up. And today, here are the three options the kids are taught. One option is you take drugs. If you can't get the street drugs, the government will give you some. Second is alcohol. Third one is the government will stand up for you. Those are the three options our young people are being raised with in public schools today. And it's frightening. Because what's going to happen when, let's say that there's a war, and these young people are listening to loudspeakers from the other side, and those loudspeakers are saying, you're a bunch of sissies. You can't stand up for what you believe. You know what they're going to do? They're going to come whining back to their sergeant and saying, oh, they hurt my feelings. We will never have a chance as a country. Families won't have a chance to survive. Individuals won't have a chance for sanity unless they learn how to be strong. Unless they learn how to be strong. And this is where the Bible comes in and tells us that we need to do something ourselves. There are loads and loads of Christians, even tonight, meeting. A lot of them probably are going to have an altar call where they're going to say, all right, come down. You want to be strong? Come on down, and we'll lay hands on you. Or God's just going to zap you from heaven, and suddenly you're going to be strong. It doesn't work that way. There are things we have to do. The Bible says Amaziah, the king, strengthened himself. Daniel, received strength. He was willing to receive strength. And you have to have a certain amount of strength in order to get stronger. Going back to the illustration of the old man, with the help of either a nurse or his wife or whoever it was, trying to walk, he had to submit to them walking him. Otherwise, he wouldn't get any stronger. If he just laid in bed, whining about, oh, I wish I was stronger. God, make me stronger. It wouldn't happen. He had to have the initiative to get out there and be willing to do what it took to become stronger. As Christians, the criticism of Christians is going to grow. That this political process we see going on right now, some of the people claiming that they're Christians, man, that's hurting the name of Christ by some of the things that they're doing. People are looking at that and they're judging all Christians by a few to get the public eye, and people are watching them. Well, sadly, it's going to come down to this. Every Christian is going to be, people are going to generalize against you. And they're going to assume that you're this whiny little person that is deceitful, that is crooked, that is a liar, that is a deceiver. You do wrong things, and yet you claim the Bible. You claim to know God. And they're going to call you names. They're going to come against you simply because you love the Lord Jesus. Over in the book of Colossians, in verse 1, chapter 1, verse 11, rather. Wants to see that getting stronger has a purpose. It isn't just something that we have on a list of, you know, a bucket list of things to do. Colossians 1:11, it says, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long suffering with joyfulness. One of the purposes is that our strength ends up bringing us patience and long suffering with joyfulness. So that we're going to be able to endure things, you know, people coming against us and saying things and criticizing and coming down against Christians, that they're going to do that. Expect it. The world's getting worse and worse. But we can endure this with long suffering if we receive the strengthening from the Lord. And I'm going to tell you how the Bible says we're supposed to do that in a minute. But now the other thing is in 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 17. It deals with the situation that Paul was in. He was under house arrest. As he usually did, he brought his entire team. He had Luke, Apollos, and various others that were with him, that even though he was confined to a house, he was able to depend on the Lord, pray for these others, and direct them to go out in different ways in different areas. And the wisdom that God had given to Paul was essential for that work. Well, one day he woke up and nobody was there. Everybody had left. There wasn't one single person out of the team that stayed with Paul. And the very next day, he had to appear in court. And here's what he says, 2 Timothy 4:17. It says, notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear. And I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. All right, what he's saying here is that God's strengthening had a result. The result was, I can go this alone if I have to. So long as the Lord stands with me, I can do this. And that strengthening allowed him to push away the common idea today that we need all sorts of people behind us to get anything done. We don't. We need the Lord. As long as he's with us, that's really all that we need. And so being strengthened in the Lord helps us to be able to stand. Because, you know, there may come a time when you're confronted with something, a very important spiritual issue, and there is no other Christian around you, no other church member, nobody that's going to pray for you, stand up for you. You're by yourself. But if you have the strength of the Lord, you can accomplish everything that needs to be done, just as Paul did. So the strengthening wasn't just something on a bucket list. The strengthening was something that was needed for very practical purposes. The first thing that we have to recognize, though, is that we need the Lord's strength. When I went to school, we had... In Bible college, we had some students that we called professional students. They had been there years before I was a freshman, and they were years after I graduated. And they just take a couple courses at a time and say, you know, I really want to digest this well. I really want to know my material. And so while that may be a good excuse not to do anything practical, they spent years and years in college just absorbing. Now, when we acknowledge, not that we know so much, but when we acknowledge, I don't know everything. I don't know a lot of things that I wish I did. When we come before the Lord humbly, and admit we're human, we don't know everything, then God is going to be more ready to strengthen you than he would somebody who says, well, I've already studied everything there is to know. I know it all. God isn't going to help them a bit. because God can't stand pride. But when we come before him humbly, then we find he's going to help us. Let me give you a scripture on that. Hebrews chapter 11 in verse 34. It's talking about all the different prophets, all the different people in the Old Testament. It gives a whole list. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 34, it says, they quench the violence of fire, escape the edge of the sword. Out of weakness, we're made strong. Wax valiant in fight, turn to fight the enemies of the aliens. Out of weakness, we're made strong. Now, Paul acknowledges this as well. In that section of scripture where he's talking about his physical ailments and how he asked the Lord three times to take his physical ailments away. God said, no, my grace is sufficient for you. In that context, it's 2 Corinthians 12:10. Paul's answer to God's response. He says, therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, what's the rest of it?
Then am I strong.
We can lose our strength from the Lord when we decide we're going to do things our way and not his. There's a perfect example of this in the Old Testament, in the book of Judges. Judges chapter 16. We have the example of Samson. And you remember God set down a law, said, Samson, this is for you. This is what I expect from you. You're not going to cut your hair. You're not going to do this. You're not going to do that. And so long as Samson followed what God said to do, then he was blessed, he was strong. Obedience helps us get strong. Now, this is what it says. Judges 16, verse 19. Delilah, it says, and she made him sleep upon her knees, and she called for a man, and she caused him to shave off the seven locks of his head, and she began to afflict him, and his strength went from him. And she said, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he awoke out of sleep and said, I'll go out as at other times before and shake myself. And he knew not that the Lord was departed from him. But the Philistines took him and put out his eyes and brought him down to Gaza and bound him with fetters and brass. And he did grind in the prison house. Bible says his strength went from him. Why? Because he was fooling around with something that he knew he wasn't supposed to do. But he became overconfident. He felt, man, I'm close to God. I'm strong. I can do this. And thought he could get away with it. But his strength went from him. Now, how do we get strong? Here's the old man. Somebody helping him as he's starting to walk. Looked like it was a very painful and slow thing. But you know, I suspect that the more he did it, the stronger he would become. Simply by exercising. Exercise is a very powerful way to get stronger. You just lie in bed. Don't expect after 7 days in bed to get up and win a soccer match. You're not going to do it. You don't have the strength. You don't have the stamina. And it's the same way, only Christians have a more intense battle going on that involves not only the body, but the soul and the spirit. And we have this battle facing us every single day. So how do we get stronger? Beside the exercise aspect, over in Hebrews chapter 6, Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 18. It's talking about the Lord and characteristics about God. Things that a lot of Christians don't realize. A lot of people will tell you, well, God changed his mind. Maybe God doesn't want to help you after all. You know, God saved you, but maybe he changed his mind, doesn't want to save you after all. You know, all sorts of things people attribute to God because they don't know him. And here's what it says in verse 18. It says that by two immutable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. So we trust God when he gave us John 3:16. We trust God when he tells us about heaven, when he tells us about everlasting life. We trust him because he cannot lie. That in itself makes us stronger. If you have someone that you can depend upon and know that you can depend upon, that gives you courage. You use the biblical term strong consolation. It makes you stronger. If somebody comes along and says, well, we're gonna make peace with the world and vote for me because everybody's gonna love us and we're just gonna make peace with everybody. And they tell you this. Listen, there are going to be a lot of people voting for that person because they're naive. And, you know, the Christian, however, looks at things and says, I want to know something about that person. How good is their word? How can I trust them? Well, any human politician, forget it. But when you come to your relationship with God, there is someone you can trust every time for every circumstance in your life. You can trust him. You can depend upon him. And that's how you get stronger because you know that he's going to take care of you. When a person goes into battle and they're questioning, is the army going to back me up? You're going to have a lot of guys going AWOL. If they have questions about whether they're going to have backup, if they have questions about whether they're going to have support, then there are going to be a lot of guys that aren't going to put everything into it. On the other hand, if they know without a doubt that their fellow soldiers are going to back them up, that the government's going to back them up, that they're going into battle and they are going to win, when they have that consolation, they have the determination. They have the strength of character to carry out everything that is expected of them. And it's the same way when we have to deal with problems here on this earth. We deal with it on the basis of how much can we trust God. And if we really trust him, then we can move ahead with absolute faith. So that's going to make us stronger. Now, the other thing, let's go back to Hebrews chapter 5. In verse 12, it says, for when for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God. Now, obviously, he's disappointed with who he's writing to. He's saying, you should have grown up. And you didn't. And there are two types of spiritual food he's talking about here. One, he puts into the category of milk. This is for babies. This is for little children. And the other category is meat. And that's for those that are strong. That's for those that have grown in the Lord and matured spiritually. I want you to see what he says. He says, for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. Can a baby digest meat? A little baby? No, doesn't have the capabilities of it. And that baby will probably get sick. It simply doesn't have the capabilities. And on the other hand, if you give somebody who is training for, let's say, a weightlifting match, and all you give them is milk, no meat, no other nutrient, just milk, that person isn't going to be able to lift much in weights. You're weakening them simply by giving them milk. When it comes to spiritual growth in your life, you need to check out what nourishment you're taking in. There are a lot of people who want things that are very simple, things that are sometimes even worldly. And when you do, what you're going to find is you're not going to be able to handle the big crises. You're not going to be able to handle some serious troubles when they slap you in the face. You simply aren't going to have the strength for that when you're just taking in milk. But when it comes to something deeper, let's say you've grown and you're able to digest more, and that's a gradual process, isn't it? I know in a lot of churches, they say, well, come down to the altar and we'll lay hands on you, and suddenly, poof, you're mature. You're filled with the Spirit. You're suddenly a mature Christian. It does not happen that way. How many times did Jesus use the illustration when a person gets saved that they're as little babies, and then he used the example of a little child, then he uses the example of adults? It is a growth process. It isn't something that just happens just like that. We need to be determined to grow up in Christ. And as we grow up in Christ, if we're taking in the nourishment, we are going to be able to do the things that we wouldn't be able to otherwise. Little charity. If little charity was asked, take down one of these tables and move it against the wall. That's because daddy would help her. But you take an adult could do it because they've grown up. They've developed. And it's the same way in the spiritual life. We're not going to be able to face the challenges and difficulties if we stay just taking the milk. We've got to grow from that milk and develop some strengths that we didn't have before. Then, over in Ephesians chapter 3, and this is an essential part of spiritual growth as well. Now remember, first of all, is having a knowledge of God, being able to count on him, know certain things about him that give you confidence. Secondly, is nourishment from the Word of God. And thirdly, is in Ephesians chapter 3 in verse 16. This is a prayer Paul is issuing not only for the church at Ephesus, but all God's people. He says that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. That you may be strengthened with might by his Spirit. The Spirit does some amazing things that sometimes we're not even conscious of. He makes us aware of sin. He's doing things in our lives that we didn't even comprehend. I'll never forget one time a lady in church got saved, and she calls me up Monday morning, and Pastor, and she's frantic. You have to come over to my house, please. It's an emergency. And so I headed over there, and she was already standing at the door and invited me in. She says, Pastor, there's something going on. I'm scared. She says, I turned on the TV. And says, when I turned it on, she says, I just was overwhelmed with guilt. And she says, I don't know what was wrong with me. She says, but I just about passed out. I could hardly even breathe. It was like somebody putting their hands around my throat. What is going on? And I said, what were you watching? And she says, what I usually watch. And it was a soap opera. And I hadn't preached on soap operas since she had been there. But the Holy Spirit was. And the Holy Spirit convicted her over something, and she didn't realize that the Holy Spirit was convicting her. And we prayed about it. And you know, you have the usual thing like, Do I really have to get rid of it? Well, what does the Holy Spirit tell you? Yes. Okay, well, let's pray. And she committed it to the Lord. And she says, oh, I can't believe it. She says, that's so wonderful. She says, all that pressure that was on my chest, the hands around my throat. And she says, the panic, it's gone. I didn't even realize what was going on. There's the work of the Holy Spirit. And one of the healthy signs that you're listening to the Holy Spirit is when you come under conviction. Because that's one of the things that he does. And that's such an important thing in your relationship with the Lord. Because what is it that separates you from fellowship with Jesus? Sin. Sin. And if you address that, you deal with that sin and get it out of the way, confess it, turn from it, then your fellowship with the Lord is restored. And you go back to 1 John chapter 1 on that, where it says that if we walk in light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And this is where the fellowship comes in, if we're walking in the light. So here are things that'll help us to be strong. A knowledge of faith, the faithfulness of God. Secondly, nourishment from God's word. And thirdly, the power of God's Holy Spirit. Submitting to him, allowing him to work in our lives. I don't think any of us can count on an angel tonight coming to our room and touching us and saying, be strong, like the angel did for Daniel. I mean, it's not that it can't happen, but it's highly unlikely. So what do we do to get that encouragement? Well, you read the word. The word is encouraging. The word tells you what you need to do. And there's so many examples in the word that are set down for us that we're supposed to follow. And we really don't absolutely have to have angels, you know, telling us, be strong, be strong. All you need to do is look at the news. And if that doesn't tell you, you better be strong in your faith, I don't know what it's going to take. But that shows us that in these last days, we need more of the Lord than ever before. We can't afford to be pansies. We can't afford to be weak-minded. We have to be strong in the Lord in order to succeed in being the kind of witnesses, being the kind of Christians that in this last days needs to be seen by the world. They need to see the real thing. Let's bow in a word of prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you today for your word. We thank you that you looked ahead years back, even before we were born. And Lord, you blessed us with your word because it relates to what we're dealing with now in this year. I pray, Father, that we'd be strong in our faith in you and our determination that our lives would mean something, that our lives would count for eternity. Lord, there are millions, billions of people on the face of the earth. When they leave this earth, they leave nothing behind so far as changing lives. But Father, what you've done for us is something that can be passed on in knowledge, something that would encourage others to turn from the ways of this world into the ways of your ways. And Father, I pray that we might be faithful in sharing that truth and encouraging people to put their faith in you. Lord, help us to be strong. Remind us that that's a necessity and not just an option. And Lord, we'll give you the praise for what you'll do. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Trust we'll see you on Sunday.
$75 for that confection of it. I know we've spoken about it before. Okay. Is that reasonable?
Yeah, sure.
All right. Is it all right if I take it and I bring you the money on Sunday?
Yeah, just put it in the offering.
I'm good for it.
Yeah,
I just know. Put it in the offering?
Yeah.
Okay.
Just put a note to it and that's it.
All right.
Great. All right. Appreciate it.
Yeah, no, that's, I appreciate it. I appreciate it.
No, that's fine.
Yeah. Dan brought some new people.
Yeah, yeah, they're moving next door to them.
Yeah, they seem like really
yeah.
Nice people.
Yeah, yeah. Praise God. Have a good rest of the week.